6:10 in the morning. Of course, that's the love theme from Paul Conroy. We'll get to Paul in just a second. On a Monday morning, the weekend news, of course, was sucked up in the majority of it was sucked up by the campaign 2016. And again, Hillary, your medium-sized winner in Nevada. She and the Bernie Sanders show now go off to South Carolina for the primary there, and the caucuses for the Republicans are in Nevada. Down one, Jeb Bush takes his $150 million campaign and goes home. Trump, the Trumpster, is likely to win Nevada as well. And that's why, I'm just here to tell you, if the rest of you would get on the Trump bandwagon, like I've been on the Trump bandwagon the entire time, I think we'd all be better off. I mean, it's clear this is a guy to lead us into tomorrow and maybe even Wednesday. It's a terrible story out of Kalamazoo, Michigan. This lunatic, and by the way, another white guy with a gun. This lunatic shot 8 or 9 people, 6 of which are dead, four or five are women. 4 dead women, one or two other women were also shot. There's no reason to believe he was specifically targeting women because there's nothing to make sense of this anyway. He drives for Uber, or drove for Uber, I should say, and there doesn't appear to be any connection. And it's no more fair to say this guy is the Uber shooter as it would be to say Jared Fogle's the subway molester. The circumstances of his job are not related to this. However, that's the way he'll be identified throughout the day. And then, as we just mentioned a second ago, your big sporting event of the weekend was not the Hawks getting thumped in Minnesota. It was the Daytona 500 and the closest finish ever. We'll get to all that coming up, but Paul Conroy is standing by. Good morning, Paul. How are you?
Hey, I'm good. How are you today?
I'm doing fine, thank you. Hey, something came up this weekend, and I thought, here's something Paul and I have never talked about.
All right.
In all our years, we've never discussed this. How long have we been doing this now?
We're pushing like 18 years.
We've 18, been 20, 22, yeah. 24 years. By the way, this is the worst line I've ever heard. What's going on?
I don't know. Is it on my end?
Yeah, it was a mic.
Is that any better?
That's way better.
Looks like Skilling sat on this microphone again.
Well, just because it was a slow weekend? Or
I don't know. He gets some crazy things going on in here. And, like, I find bowls of chili and sausage and stuff like that laying around here.
I got to tell you.
What's this guy doing?
I love the guy, but you took me back into the weather center once.
A slob.
Oh, it's not good. Hoarders turned down an opportunity to go back there.
All right. He is the nicest man, smartest man I've ever met.
Yeah.
Come on.
Well, isn't it funny how everybody's got something, right?
Right.
You see the most beautiful women in the world.
Right.
And
they got bad breath or smelly feet.
Yeah,
or
there's something.
Yeah.
Right. The smartest people in the world. There's.
Yeah.
It's like God
dumb
gives
as a box of rocks.
God gives you too much of something.
Mm-hmm.
God's got to take some away.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Like in your case.
Yeah.
Like, you are a strikingly handsome,
right,
extremely
got
talented.
Older, but I can't remember. This is the most embarrassing thing.
What?
My whole life, I can't remember to put my fly up.
Oh, you're walking around with your fly down.
Like, it happens maybe 4 times a week where someone has to say to me, hey, the old barn door's open.
What do you make of that? Is that just like a passive-aggressive attempt to
maybe
flash people?
It probably is. But it's been going on since I was like 5 years old. I just forget. My mind gets going elsewhere. Next thing I know.
See, I can't figure out anything that's wrong with me.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, listen, why don't we open up the phone lines? And, always looking for ways to get those phones ringing fast.
Paul, the show goes till 10, okay?
All right.
Why don't we open it up to the staff on the show? Mary, what's wrong with me? What's the one thing that I should change?
Where do you start?
Wow.
Hold on, let me get my list out.
Well, it probably should be one. Dave, what's the one thing that God didn't give me enough of, other than hair?
Oh, I can't imagine there's
Kevin,
anything.
What's the one thing that...
They are sucking up to you like they work with you or something. Come on, be honest, you guys.
Physically or mentally?
The guy's late all the time.
Physically.
He's irresponsible. He's...
Doesn't
have an appreciation for other people or life. He's a liar. He's got a funny smell to him.
Wait,
there's a million things that we can keep going. Snores like a bull moose.
Do those things all count?
It goes on and on.
Kevin, what do you got?
No, you're all around perfection, Steve.
Andrea,
you got a bunch of suck ups around you.
Andrea, is there anything?
The show.
Can someone please be honest with the guy?
The show goes till 10. I've said before.
Ross, what is it that I should change?
He's your son. He's not going to say anything.
What?
He's pretending he can't hear. Well, like I said, there's really nothing I can figure out. So, now I did get a note. We should make this the text question of the day today.
Right.
I don't think that's going to happen.
312-981-7200.
Well, you know, anyway, we're out of time to talk about what I intended to talk to you about. But here's the question, and maybe we'll table this till next week.
All right.
The question is, are we alone in the universe? Are we alone in the universe?
You and me?
Well, not you and I. Are there aliens out there?
Oh, yeah.
Here's the reason I ask. I want you to think about this. I want you to research this.
I got my answer already.
I want you to drop everything else.
Yep.
On Apollo 10 on the other side of the moon. Not this side, the other side of the moon. They heard strange music.
Really?
Yeah, and it's just being reported this week in a special. Well, no, it wasn't porn music. Was it like a little lunar guy? Lunar guy in a tool belt. I'm here to fix your shower head.
Like Gladys Knight in the Pits.
Well, if that was Gladys.
On the midnight train to Georgia.
It's 6:16 and Mary's back with your traffic trouble spots on 720 WGN. Tomorrow? Wow, what a weird time for me to hit puberty. That's odd. Tomorrow on the show, I will not be talking about campaign 2016. Now, Grzanich will have to talk about it in the news, if there is news, and there likely will be, and you will have to talk about it in the big story.
I will have to talk about it in the big story, yes, yes, because there will likely be news. It is campaign 2016.
Wait a minute, look at Kevin. Kevin just informed me of a booking for tomorrow. Who's on tomorrow?
It'll be Senator Durbin tomorrow, Steve.
I got to ask Durbin about the campaign,
don't I? It's 7:10 tomorrow morning.
Maybe you can have a dispensation for the Durbin interview.
So with the exception of when Senator Durbin's here, I will not be talking about campaign 2016 tomorrow. This all came up from Thursday or Friday, where I don't even know what started it, but I said, look, I'm as sick of it as you are. So we had to talk about it today. We have to talk about it today because of the weekend in South Carolina and Nevada. And by the way, coming up at 7:10, the sounds of Donald Trump.
Oh, that'll be nice.
Donald Trump in his own words. It's 7:10 this morning.
This is all of Donald Trump, not just over the weekend? It was a doozy of a weekend.
All of Trump would take some time, mm-hmm. wouldn't it?
They love me. They love me.
They love you. I love you. I'm all on board. I'm a Trump. You know what? I'm driving a Trump train.
Is this like reverse psychology?
What are you talking about?
This is, isn't it?
I've been on the Trump train forever.
Uh-huh.
But I will play Trump in his own words at 7:10 this morning. I'm not going to slam Trump. He thinks I slam Trump all the time. I'm not going to slam Trump. I'm going to let Trump. Talk Trump talk.
There you go.
At 7:10. So tomorrow, with the exception of the Dick Durbin interview at 7:10, I won't be talking about campaign 2016.
Okay.
Unless, I mean, if something comes up. If something comes up that's significant, obviously you can't ignore it.
And we can't bait you, can we? Like, we can't say, hey, what do you think of when Trump said fill in the blank?
No, I'm a steel trap. Mm-hmm. I am, I don't even know what that means. I'm a lockbox. I am I'm a safe with no combination. What? I am, it's impossible to break into this whatever tomorrow. So with the exception of 7:10 and Senator Durbin, I will, I'm not going to talk about the campaign tomorrow. Dave Ennett's back from Florida. How's your dad?
He's doing great, thanks.
Yeah. Did you guys have a good time?
Yeah, I had a great time.
Did you go looking, Cats.
Did you go looking for chicks? Did you go clubbing?
No, he's in a relationship.
Oh, well, that's good. How old is he?
92.
So are you too, Dave.
Yeah, that's right. And my wife was with me. I didn't think I needed to clarify that.
Did you go on a double date?
We did. We did. Yeah.
Where'd you go?
I went to a seafood place right by the water.
What'd you get? Nice.
So when your wife, well, let's focus here. When your wife and your dad's friend go off to do the ladies' room thing, did you guys talk about whether or not you're going to get lucky?
No, I don't remember that happening. Thanks for asking.
I'm sorry. I put that image in your head. Now it's going to take the entire week
to
get rid of it.
Wish you had.
Very awkward.
Chick-a-bom-bom.
Did you play doubles tennis?
Oh, get lucky means where they're going to go to the casino. Your dad's 92. I mean, let's not be gutter minds, Mary. Good God. Why is Mary always making it sex?
Me?
Yeah, it's unbelievable.
I asked him about tennis.
Okay, whatever. Like tennis isn't code.
We didn't play tennis.
Aw.
Andre and I both had busy work weekends. Where were you?
I was at the emceeing the event for the Crisis Center for South Suburbia. Raised a lot of money for the shelter, which aids victims of domestic violence. It was a very successful fundraiser.
And what's the organization called?
Crisis Center for South Suburbia. It's crisisctr.org is the website.
Great on Saturday night, I was at the BBF Family Foundation roast of Richard Dent. And did the auction and some stuff up front and then turned it over to Mike Wilbon. And then 8 or 12 hours later, I think we left.
yeah, ours ran late.
as it goes with roasts, it's very difficult to control the time of the people involved. You know what was really funny was Willie Gault.
Really?
Yeah, Willie Gault was really funny.
How inappropriate did people get?
Not terrible, 50% of it. Yeah.
Mongo?
Mongo behaved, yeah. You know, covert. Told a couple of stories you probably shouldn't have told. But it's a roast, you know? I mean,
right.
It's a roast.
You have to have some of that.
Yeah, and it's a nice organization. I hope you can support it. I supported it in a way that I didn't expect to support it Saturday night. So, but anyway, it was Anna DeVlantis was there with her husband, David, looking beautiful. Not
very
David,
nice.
Anna. David's a chump. Anna looked great.
Poor David.
No, David's a great guy. David, by the way, bought one of the items.
How about that?
Yeah, very nice of him. And David's a great guy. You know, I kid David because it's a good time for me. And then Patty Vasquez was there.
Patty was there?
Yeah.
Cool.
And you know, you got Anna and Patty there. We just needed you. Could have restarted Beyonce's old band.
Could have been the trifecta, yeah.
So it was good. It's a good thing. It's a good thing. The BBF Family Foundation is a good thing. And the interesting thing is Richard Dent, God bless Richard Dent, man, one of the greats of all time. But Richard does not have an internal clock. He has no idea when to shut up. Richard did the thing at the end of the roast where you've got 5 minutes to, you know, rip your friends and thank everybody for being there. And I swear to you, he talked for 40 minutes. And he means well the entire time. He's saying wonderful things about the organization, but he can't not keep talking. And they finally had to hook him.
Oh, they did they?
How do you hook something that big?
How do you hook Richard Dent?
How do you hook the guy at his own roast?
How many hooks did you need?
Well, you know, at the Hall of Fame when he was inducted, he thanked everybody
he'd ever met,
pretty much.
Yeah.
He said, "Hey, there's Coach so and so. Remember 1992 when I was running towards the tail end of my career, and you did.
He told another story.
Yeah, he told.
It was kind of like that too. If it was in front of him and it was shiny, he talked about it. Mm-hmm. And a lot of this stuff was a little inside because you got all these guys that know each other. I mean, Christian Okoye came in.
Really?
Yeah, Christian Okoye, the old Kansas City Chiefs running back. You know, Marcus Allen, who was sick as a dog, came in, and that was hilarious, by the way, to see all the women lining up to take pictures with Marcus Allen, knowing he probably had the flu. They just didn't care.
Where was he recently? He was at the NFL Awards night. He looks like he could still play.
Yeah, he's in good shape.
Wow.
Yeah, yeah. Reminds me a lot of me. Yeah. Eric Dickerson was there. So Dickerson and Marcus Allen were the two guys.
It's a pretty good backfield.
Yeah, it's not so bad. They were the two guys talking about, you know, how Dent used to hurt them. Joe Montana was coming in, but Joe's still recovering from Dent's last sack. Yeah, which was probably, what, 90? 91?
Probably.
92?
So he wasn't there?
He did not make it in. But, you know, Hamp was great. The Chicago Six band was great. And I hope you'll support the BBF Family Foundation. It's 6:28. We'll take a break, come back. Dr. Most is here this morning with all the controversy over the cost of prescriptions and the Martin Shkreli's of the world. We'll talk to Doc about that. How do those prescriptions get priced and marketed, and where's that money going? 6:28 and 7:20 WGN. Could be a good texter question. Jobs that no longer exist.
Woke up after midnight, both my neck and arms were sore.
312-981-7200 is the phone call or text number.
On my upper lip, there's a growth I've never seen before.
Somebody said milkman, but there's still milkman.
And I wish that there was someone I could call. The WGN hotline.
Well, I think you know what it's time for.
I have edema on my thigh, pink stuff in my eye, and I need you now.
Dr. Kevin Most joins us. Good morning, my friend.
Good morning, Steve. How are you?
Doing all right. How about Bubba Watson, huh?
He may be
dumber than a stump, but the boy can play golf, can't he?
Yeah, I kind of feel sorry for Jason there those last couple holes, but hey. Bubba's a stud. He can play.
All right, so here's the deal. Kevin has done so well. Kevin, starting in January, had a fast food ban that he was self-imposed. He said, I'm not going to eat fast food. Didn't need it for January, didn't need it for February. But yesterday...
Fell off the wagon?
Well, yesterday was Wing Fest.
Oh.
Exactly what you said. Did you, Kevin, did you catch that the doc's medical opinion was laughing? That was pretty good.
Yeah, I don't think that's good.
I just wonder how far he fell and how much it hurt.
Well, it was Wing Fest, so I just said, forget the diet. This is one of my favorite days.
Well, how much weight have you lost?
About 20.
Yeah, and he looks great. Yep. He looks great. And, you know, women can't keep their hands off him, as usual.
Yeah,
there's HR complaints left and right in the office that Kevin has to file against them.
Right.
But now, for his overall health, how many wings yesterday, Kev?
I always try to keep track, but midway through, I completely lose track because you get a little hazy after eating all those wings. I would say probably 25, 30-ish.
25 to 30 wings.
Wow.
So is this, and it's, I'm guessing that's a low number. You're probably 3 dozen. I'm guessing 3 dozen is there.
Yeah, you know what, that's, you're probably right.
Yeah. Right, so 3 dozen wings for a guy that has spent almost, 50 to 60 days without fast food. What's this going to do to his ecosystem?
Hey, I hope that people heard the earlier part where he said, you know, I stopped fast food and I lost 20 pounds.
Yeah.
You know, the amount of calories.
Well, he was also running. I mean, that's the thing, too. You know,
I
hear all these things about people that, you know, they go, well, I lose weight just by dieting. I don't exercise. I don't buy it. I think you got to do both, don't you?
Absolutely.
At least that's what I remember.
So now it's just going to be whether Kevin get back on that wagon and stay away. Hopefully there's not another Wing Fest or Taco Fest or something coming up here in the next couple of weeks.
Well, we're getting into festival season.
Bacon Fest is right around the corner, Doc.
There you go.
How long before he starts to feel pretty good again? Because your body has to go through some sort of process, and not the plumbing part of it I'm talking about here, but just a process to... Does he have to have meat sweats or something? How does he get beyond this?
Oh, I've got those this morning. I'm hurting today. Oh, chicken wing hangover.
Well. Very pale today, Kevin.
Yeah, I don't look good. I don't feel good. But,
you don't regret it, do you?
No, absolutely not. Totally worth it.
That's like the guy who hasn't exercised and is going to run a marathon.
Right.
You know, you haven't had anything for 60 days, and all of a sudden you then dive into the deep end of the pool.
Mm-hmm. But, you know, to take this back to the benefit of the listeners, which is allegedly why we talk to you, you know, it's this is a lesson for, you know, you wake up after a hangover, or I should say with a hangover after a bender. That's the same thing Kevin did yesterday. He went on a chicken bender.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and you can ease into other foods instead of chicken wings. I mean, people love chicken wings, but that skin on the chicken wing is where all that fat is. And
also known as the good part.
Yeah, exactly. They're not good for you, that is for sure.
All right, so the lesson we've learned here, Kevin, is what?
I don't know. What did we learn? That chicken wings are awesome, and if you eat too many, you can get some sort of
Doc
chicken wing.
On this. Doc, what's the lesson we've learned here?
Remember, Kevin, that 20 pounds that you lost?
Yeah.
You know, you don't want to put that right back. You already struggled and, you know, fought through that. Don't give it up now.
I'll eat something boring today, like a salad, and I'll get on
there
the
you
treadmill.
Go.
We'll kick things off again.
All right, let's go to a quick text question. We'll come back and we'll talk about prescriptions and how they're priced and why Martin Shkreli should do a pay-per-view where for $10 we all get to punch him in the face. Going to Playa del Carmen next week. Any concerns for seniors or babies with the Zika outbreak in that part of Mexico?
No, you have to remember that, the Zika virus, the only person, I shouldn't say that, the only people we're really concerned about with the Zika virus are women who are pregnant or may become pregnant. So 80% of people who get the Zika virus are going to have zero symptoms. They're not even going to know they had it. 20% are going to have some muscle aches, some pain, some low-grade fever. So really not that much of a concern. More of the concern, again, is with those females who may become pregnant because of the chance of microcephaly.
It's 6:46. We'll do traffic, the traffic trouble spot show, then we'll come back, and Doc will talk about the prescription crisis, and if there is one here in America, coming up. First, though, Mary, what do you have? Dr. Kevin Mo, sponsored by Northwestern Medicine, Impact every day. I figure even with a cold snap this coming weekend, Doc, we are 4 weeks from playing golf.
Yeah. I mean, I hit balls on Saturday, so.
Yeah, I did too. I did too. And I talked to a couple guys who actually went out and played. All right, so let's get into this prescription story. Martin Shkreli is the former CEO of something called Turing Pharmaceuticals. Now, this guy, even if you believe all drug companies are evil, this guy takes it to the highest level. He took a drug that was designated or was found to be effective for HIV patients and a couple of other strains. What was the original intent of the drug? The HIV thing was kind of accidental, right?
Yeah, it treats a condition called toxoplasmosis, and that's an infection that immunocompromised people can get. So HIV patients can get it as well as patients on chemotherapy.
So he raised the price after he took over the patent on the drug. He raised the price from $13.50 a pill to $750 a pill overnight and became the most hated man in America, which is not easy to do in the era of Trump. And he just continued day after day, week after week to just foster this image of a creep. We found out, of course, in the investigation of this, that those sort of dramatic increases in pill prices when a patent expires are not that uncommon. So all drug companies aren't evil, but some drug companies are exploiting the system. Is that fair?
Yeah. You know, they're exploiting the system, and they're smart businessmen. A lot of insurance plans, many people are listening right now, your insurance plan, your health coverage probably encourages you to take a generic drug. They may cover the entire cost of the generic, or they give you much lower prices on the generic drug so that you don't have to pay as much. Insurance companies are realizing this, picking up these drugs that have been out there for 20 years and saying, you know what, I can make a little bit of money now because all these insurance companies are encouraging people to take the generic. Therefore, I'm going to sell more generics.
So why don't we just have all generics? I mean, explain the generic piece of this. The generic is a close knockoff of the patented drug?
It's actually the exact same drug, essentially, as the patented drug. So we can't have all generics or the pharmaceutical business would go out, or this pharmaceutical industry would go out of business. And that is not good because a lot of the pharma industry and a lot of the new drugs are coming out of places here in the United States. So the United States protects those companies. They say, okay, if you're going to develop a new drug, we're going to give you the exclusive rights for 20 years. So it takes about 6-7 years to get through. So they have about 13 years, in some cases 10, to get their money back on their investment. And we say, oh, gosh, they should easily be able to do that. But what people don't understand is that 95% of the drugs that they are testing never make it to market. So 5 out of every 100 actually end up as a drug that is going to be used in people.
So it's an investment banking thing. We'll throw 10 things against the wall. If one hits, maybe we do okay.
Exactly. Yep.
All right.
And it kind of makes sense. I mean, you know, we still want to advance medicine. Many great drugs have come out. If you look at the history of pharmaceuticals, it's just amazing. I mean, you know, in the 20s, we had penicillin, and now look at what we have. And a lot of these drugs are excellent drugs and have really made a huge impact and extended the life of many people.
All right. So if we go with to that level of thinking, which is obviously the right level of thinking, that we need drug companies and we need them to be successful. It'd be great if they hit on more than 1 in 10. If the money's all going to research and development, why do we keep hearing about the cost of marketing?
Yeah. Well, and that's the other thing that I think that's kind of interesting is look at what's going on in marketing now. If you take away all the political ads, so when you're watching TV tonight, take away all the political ads and look at how many of them are medical ads. And before, we used to see medical ads for, say, Nexium or Allegra, you know, so drugs that, like we talked last week about, GERD or allergy medicines, something that is going to be taken by millions of people. And then you have the Viagra and the Cialis commercials that are on every other commercial. You know, lots of people are taking those. So that was their strategy, was to put it out there. And the other thing is they were also looking at getting it all the over-the-counter medicines, medicines you didn't have to go see a doctor in order to get. That was the marketing strategy, and we've seen recently that it's changed. And it'd be interesting to see if you even have recognized any of the changes.
But what would you say the number one change is?
I think the number one change is that now pharmaceutical companies are now marketing drugs that are prescription-driven and that are for a smaller number of patients. So they're really looking for these drugs that are hitting the home runs. We've just talked about Bubba Watson. Think about Phil Mickelson. You know, Phil is on the TV talking about how this new arthritis drug, Enbrel, how it really changed his life. And he had terrible arthritis. He has terrible psoriatic arthritis, but this drug has been a life changer for him. It's allowed him to continue what he's doing. But they, what they don't tell you is this drug costs $30,000 a year.
So there's another drug that's out there now that's for, and we hear the commercials. Commercials run here on WGN for something called Non-24.
Yep.
What is that?
So that was an interesting one, because if you listen to the commercial, they don't talk about the drug at all. They don't even talk about a drug. They just talk about the condition, awareness of that condition. So when you look behind it a little bit, that ad is actually put out by a company called Vanda. And Vanda has come up with a medication to help these people who have this condition of Non-24. There are other medications out there that can possibly do this that cost, oh, say $5, $6 a pill. Their pill, $400 a pill, $12,000 a month to take care of that condition.
So they're hoping to make sure that the awareness is out there. How are they spreading the word that they want patients to ask for Vanda or doctors to prescribe it?
Yeah, if you listen to some of these, they actually even tell you in the commercial, if you have this condition, ask your doctor about this. Ask your doctor if X drug is right for you.
Mm-hmm.
So they're coming back in and asking us, you know, for that. And I'll give you a perfect example. You were on Coumadin for a while, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah.
Okay. So there's drugs now called Eliquis and Pradaxa. And those drugs are about $250 a month for anybody with atrial fibrillation, someone that's had a pulmonary embolism in the past. Guess how much Coumadin costs a month?
No idea.
$4.
$4 a month?
$4 a month. You can get it at Target. You can get it at Walmart. It's a $4 a month prescription.
So the pharmaceuticals aren't making any money off Coumadin?
No. I mean, somebody's making money. If they weren't, they'd stop making it, right? Just shows you the amount of the markup that you can have on some of these drugs. So they're making money at Coumadin, on Coumadin. But now look at the other ones, the Pradaxa, the Eliquis. You know, those are the ones that those individuals are paying $1,000 a year when, in fact, they could be paying a whole heck of a lot less.
All right. So this has become a issue for the candidates, particularly the Democrats have been talking about this. But an issue for the candidates. So what's the takeaway for the public here? I mean, how much sway do we have over this? And should this be something that we're pushing Washington on acting on?
Well, yeah, I think there's a couple issues there. One is that, you know, the doctors have as much responsibility in this as the patients. And unfortunately, we're at a point now where doctors need to see patients in a short period of time, unfortunately. So having that discussion with the patient is sometimes difficult. Hopefully they're taking the time to do it or having one of their APNs or PAs discuss the medication, because the ads try to tout that many of these drugs are safer or that they work better. And in some cases, they do. In some cases of rheumatoid arthritis, those drugs are much better than the ones we have. But there's a great portion of the population that still would do fine on the drugs that are $10 a month instead of, you know, $2,000 a month. And we have to make sure that the patient knows that, because a lot of it is just driving up the cost of health care with no better outcomes, to be honest with you.
So don't go in and ask for the drug you saw on TV. Go in and ask the doctor what he recommends for you, he or she.
Well, and you can go in and educate yourself and be educated by the doctor and say, hey, I saw this commercial. Can you tell me if it is right for me, or am I on the right drug now? Someone that's fighting with rheumatoid arthritis and is on, you know, some of the other medications and that they're not doing well, okay, that might be an opportunity to say, yeah, we should try one of these, but let's see what your insurance pays, or let's see if this is covered by your plan. Because if it's not, your out-of-pocket costs are going
to
be...
And what's wrong with cutting to the chase with a doctor like you or like anybody and just saying, listen, I want the cheapest, most effective alternative possible?
That's it. It's the risk-reward. You know, let me balance the things here. Tell me how much it's going to cost. Tell me how I'm going to feel. You know, those are the biggest things, and to have that, and tell me what the side effects are. And then let me make a decision. We have to get to that point where we're communicating well about medications, because you can tell that these drug companies know. They put a lot of money in Orencia, Humira, Enbrel, Remicade. They put a lot of money into those drugs, and now they're trying to make that money back before those go generic. It'll be interesting to see what the cost of them, what happens to the cost of them when they do.
And interestingly enough, this segment can cause hives and sweating and a rash.
Yeah. How about it? Most of these things, if you listen to the side effects, you'd say, I'm not going to take any of those.
It's like half the commercial. And every pill is going to kill you. Might help you, but it's probably going to kill you. Doc, great stuff as always. And Ross, did we post notes on this? All right. So if you go to @CochranShow on Twitter and Steve Cochran Show on Facebook, there's valuable information there all the time. And the new easy way to get to the Steve Cochran Show blog is WGNradio.com/Cochran. And it's all right there. Doc, you're an invaluable resource.
You take care. Have a great day and get ready to shovel some snow tomorrow.
All right, pipe down. Dr. Kevin Mo, sponsored by Northwestern Medicine. Impact every day.
This is the Steve Cochran Show, live from the Allstate Showcase Studio on Chicago's very own.
You are listening to station WGN.
Hawks tickets coming up. Oh, we got a good one today. We've hidden a puck in someone's pants. Somebody texted a few minutes ago. You heard Paul Conrad at the top of the show today. Paul Conrad has a problem remembering to zip up his fly. Paul Conrad from Channel 9. If Paul Conrad had a puck in his pants, he'd never forget to zip up his fly because he'd be pants focused.
It's true.
Yeah. It is not Paul Conrad today. I'm telling you right now, it's not Paul Conrad. We have a record with you, the listeners of this program, of getting the correct answer to who has a puck in their pants almost instantaneously, sometimes before I give out the clues. So today I think it's going to be a little tougher. The clues have been carefully selected. All right, I haven't written the clues yet. But in the next few minutes when I write the clues, they will have been carefully selected.
Male or female?
That's true. God, male or female.
Come on.
Yeah. So we'll get to that coming up. A celebrity has a puck in their pants again for Hawks tickets coming up in just a few. All right, now here's the setup, and we'll do this right after traffic. I don't know if you've noticed, but in the past 7-8 months, I guess last June is when this all started, I have been somewhat against Donald Trump.
And you're using the word somewhat loosely, I take?
And also, I think you've probably noticed that I've been somewhat against Hillary Clinton.
Again,
somewhat?
The use of the word somewhat is what I'm questioning.
All right, so to be fair, and again, we'll come back and do this. I want you to hear Trump in his own words. And you're saying, I hear him all the time. No, I don't think you do. I want you to hear Trump in his own words, unedited, where yesterday on Meet the Press with Chuck Todd, he simply answered the questions that Chuck Todd asked. And this is the takeaway. Your vote is vital. Your vote is extremely important. And before you cast it for Mr. Trump or whoever you decide to vote for, I want you to understand, it's not just about winning the election. It's about the ability to do the job once you have the job. You have to convince Congress to work with you. You have to have ideas, fully formed ideas, some of which, to be fair, you can't have until you have the job. But you have to have ideas partially to fully formed that you can take forward and then get those ideas accomplished. The loudest guy in the room isn't always the best guy to walk you to your car.
Well, it isn't always right.
So I just want you to hear Trump in his own words when we come back. It's Traffic Trouble Spots. Is this sponsored by anyone, Kev?
No, it
is
not.
Sponsored by Kevin's Digestive Tract. Here is your Traffic Trouble Spots with Mary. Tomorrow on the show, I have pledged to go no campaign 2016, with the following exceptions. The news at the top of the hour, the bottom of the hour. Mm-hmm. And we have an interview scheduled with Senator Durbin at 7:10. So other than that, I will not talk about campaign 2016 tomorrow. Today, in an effort to try to back off and to give you an opportunity yourself to pause now and to hear Donald Trump in his own words, we're going to give you that. Some of you may have seen Meet the Press yesterday. For those of you who didn't, Trump was the first guest for Chuck Todd after his big win in South Carolina. And he rolls into the Nevada caucuses now with a chance to really get ahead of steam going and to get the delegate count pumped up. Again, keeping in mind that it's not just about winning the election. You have to be able to do the job. And if you're looking for a near-term example, President Obama won the election, couldn't work with Congress at all. A lot of that's Congress's fault. A lot of that's President Obama's fault. How much truly got done because of that? Not enough. Not enough, not a lot. As a matter of fact, this Congress, the previous Congress, and the Congress before that were among the most inactive and least successful. So you have to be able to do the job. So let's listen to Trump. Chuck Todd with Donald Trump yesterday, first on Obamacare.
I want, we're going to repeal and replace Obamacare. Obamacare is a total and complete disaster. It's going to be gone. We're going to come up with a great health care plan, whether it's health care savings accounts, with a lot of different things. We're going to get rid of the lines between states. We're going to have great competitive bidding. But I say all the time, you can call it anything you want. People are not going to die in the middle of the street. Right. People are not going to die on the sidewalk if I'm president.
Well, let me get something definitive
I say
you
that,
on this.
Chuck, I say that,
right.
I say that to packed houses with thousands and thousands of people,
yep.
Republicans mostly, and I get standing ovations. I'm not going to let that happen. If I'm president, we're not going to have people dying on the streets. So you can call it whatever you want.
No, I understand
I don't call
that.
It a mandate.
Well, let me ask you
I
this.
I just say it's common sense.
Okay, listen, we're close to the news here. We bring you the news every day. Have I missed a lot of people dying in the streets?
When he said the dying in the streets part, that was odd. I know he hates Obamacare. He wants to repeal it.
But
he
people
said
aren't
that.
Dying in the streets.
Some people have died in the streets. I don't know if it's a direct result of Obamacare, but
I think a lot of people are dying in the streets, and we're not getting the word.
It was bizarre.
Donald Trump, in his own words, Howard Stern interviewed Donald Trump back in 2002 about the Iraq war, whether or not we should invade. Remember, in 2002, we had not invaded yet. Here's that.
We have an idea who the enemy is, and a lot of times the politicians don't want to tell you that.
Are you for invading Iraq?
Yeah, I guess so. I wish the first time it was done correctly.
Now, clearly, you didn't sound like an enthusiastic supporter of the war. But I am curious of the second part of that quote. The first time it was, I wish the first time it was done correctly. What do you mean by that?
Well, what I mean by that is it almost shouldn't have been done. And, I really don't even know what I mean, because that was a long time ago. And who knows what was in my head.
I really don't even know what I mean. Who knows what I meant? It was a long time ago, and who knows what was in my head. Next up, Donald Trump discusses, and this is very important. I actually, after listening to this, I don't know if you have the same reaction. After listening to this, I felt like he needed a hug because there is such a war going on in his own head. I want you to listen to Donald Trump, in his own words, talking about further security concerns, and specifically Iraq. Here we go.
I think that it wasn't done correctly. In retrospect, it shouldn't have been done at all. It was sort of, it was just done. It was just we dropped bombs. Now, if you look back, actually, that was probably the correct way of doing it, not going in and not upsetting, giving them a lesson and not. I mean, I think Senior actually did a pretty good job of what he was doing. He went in, he taught him a lesson. What happened is he was taunted because Saddam Hussein was saying, we drove back the Americans. The ugly Americans were driven back. The power of Iraq, the power. Well, we didn't. Were driven back. He just decided not. General Schwarzkopf and others said, maybe let's not go in. I'm not sure, although I think Schwarzkopf actually maybe wanted to go in. I think he maybe did the right thing.
It's like leaving the house, going down the street. Did we forget our keys? Let's go back and get our keys. Oh, we have our keys. Let's leave again. Oh, did we leave the oven on? Let's go back. He literally said, we shouldn't have done it, but I think we did it correctly. He literally said, General Schwarzkopf didn't want to go in, but I think he wanted to go in. I mean, it's got to be very tiring to be in that fur-covered head of his.
A lot of flip-flopping going on.
Flip-flopping poor, in his own head. Flip-flopping. Flip-flopping in the same paragraph.
I know. Poor John Kerry got that terrible moniker last time.
I'm telling you right now, if you could take a telestrator and you actually telestrate that paragraph, that last answer to that question, it would look like Christmas lights when you take them out of the box and try to untangle them again every fall. It's Donald Trump in his own words. We'll put those up so you can share those with your friends later or go back and listen to them. Yeah, you know what? It could be me. Maybe it's not. It's 7:23. We'll give away the Hawks tickets next on 7:20 WGN. 726. Steve Cochran, I have Hawks tickets to give away, courtesy of Four Seasons Heating, Air Conditioning, and Plumbing. And if I win these Hawks tickets, they're for what game?
This would be for the game on Thursday.
Thursday night.
Thursday night, yes.
They're not doing a matinee on Thursday, are they?
They're
that would be
not.
Way more
they
convenient
are Sunday,
for me.
But not Thursday.
Sunday, I'll be there. It's 11:30 in the morning star. Perfect for me.
Are you going to cheer on Ovechkin?
No, he's a dirty commie.
Well, I knew. That's why I was setting you up for that.
He's way different than our Russians. Our Russians are good people.
Yes, they are.
Clue number one. Who has a puck in their pants? Clue number one. This individual was one of the best parts of the last Winter Olympics. One of the most exciting parts of the last Winter Olympics.
Hmm.
I can see those wheels spinning, right? Yeah.
Give me another.
This individual loves dogs.
Oh.
Loves doggies. Yeah.
No clue. I don't have a clue.
Now, when you thought that, when you got excited there for a second, did you think you had a clue, or were you just trying to fraud, you know, fraud me?
No, I thought I did have a clue, but then I realized it's not who I thought it was.
Okay. And clue number three coming up. It's 7:27. We'll do the big story next on 7:20 WGN. And at 7:30, just ahead of the big story, you want one more clue?
Yeah, one more.
Because we don't have a winner yet. This is the longest this has gone in a long time.
And usually they get it right away.
Clue number one, he was one of the most... Oh, I said he.
I
got it.
Oh, it's a he.
I got it.
I know, too. Okay, I have no clue.
Here's one of the most exciting parts of the 2012 Winter Olympics. So that eliminates Lindsey Vonn, I guess, huh?
Yeah.
It does.
He loves dogs.
Mm-hmm. It's not me.
No. And you weren't part of the Olympics, really.
One of the earliest gigs in his career was as an unpaid correspondent for the Beaver County Times.
What newspaper was it?
The Beaver County Times.
Okay, got it.
Beaver County Times.
Right.
Huh.
Yeah. Some of his finest work was done at the Beaver County Times.
I bet it was.
That's a great paper.
Yeah.
Any more clues?
In a minute.
Oh.
Just ahead of the big story, how long is today's replay?
2.4
seconds?
Yep.
Okay. Sponsored by Four Seasons Heating, Air Conditioning, and Plumbing. Rough day for the Hawks yesterday. This shouldn't take long.
This goes to the Minnesota Wild 6-1.
And that's your complete replay of yesterday's outdoor game.
That's all we needed.
Coach Q will be on a little over an hour, about 8:40 this morning. Anybody want to interview him? Anybody?
Sure.
No, I love talking to Q. You know that.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, Jonathan Toews is on Twitter now.
I'm not sure that's a great idea. I think Twitter's nothing but trouble.
Maybe.
Live from the Allstate Showcase Studio, this is the Steve Cochran Show, 720 WGN.
7:40 in the morning, and we'll get some texts here in a little bit at 312-981-7200. Steve Cochran Show live from the Allstate Showcase Studio continues. Show number 592 at Cochran Show on Twitter, Facebook.com/Steve Cochran Show as well. And we'll get to Josh Whitman, the new athletic director at the University of Illinois, in a couple of minutes. So it'll be good to talk to him. We'll get to our, we have a winner. We have a winner for who has a puck in their pants. We have celebrity stuff, pucks in their pants. And then we do this game, who's got a puck in their pants. Is that what I call it, Kev? I don't really have a name for this, do I? Puck in your pants game?
Yeah, that works.
Yeah. But here are the clues so far. One of the most exciting parts of the 2012 Olympics. This individual loves dogs. Wrote for the Beaver County Times as an unpaid correspondent, which makes you wonder about his business sense. I don't know. Oh, he's starting his career. Got it.
Like an intern, kind of.
His dream is to call an inning or two of Pittsburgh Pirates baseball. So he grew up in Pennsylvania, thus Beaver County. This is not some just generic county overrun with beavers. This is actually Beaver County, Pennsylvania. And how about one more? In his daily job, the job that he's most known for, words come up all the time, like yanks, nudges, squibbed, whacked, skeetered, and nubbed. You have any idea who this could be? Let's go to Mark Hoffman, or actually it's Mark from Hoffman Estates, though Hoffman would be a fine last name. Mark, what is your last name?
Wisniewski.
We're going to go with Hoffman. Mark Hoffman. Mark, who's got a puck in their pants?
Mike Emmerich.
Doc Emmerich. Michael. Doc Emery, Doc, you got a puck in your pants?
Well, I don't think so, Steve. But if it means tickets, I'll check. Let's see. Keys. Can opener. Racing form. I forgot to give that back to Old Check. Swiss Army knife. A couple of spent Swiss Army shells. Let's see. Minnie Minoso badge. Oh, looky. There is a puck. Clarence Campbell's signature on it. How long has that been there? What do we win?
That's fantastic.
How fantastic is that?
He was the best puck in the pants ever.
Doc delivers. Doc always. God, we love Doc Emrick, don't we?
And you know, he is going to do some Pirates games this spring.
I heard that was possible.
Yes.
What a thrill.
How cool is that?
I mean, that's all you wanted. You just wanted to have a chance.
It's good that you asked him to check because he had a lot of stuff in his pants.
How did his pants fall down?
Well, they're cargo pants. They're cargo pants.
Oh,
so, you know, he's got a lot of cargo in his cargo pants. Very impressive. And Mark from, was it Wisniewski? Was that your last name? Wisniewski?
Yes.
Yeah, remember Wiz from the Hawks, James Wisniewski? Who's he playing for now? Dave Ennett, sports director, WGN Radio.
Carolina.
Carolina, look at you, you hockey fan.
There you go. Well, you should know.
Are you related to him, Mark?
No, I met him though once.
Yeah. And do people call you Wiz?
They do.
Oh, well, there you go. You know why it's too hard to say Wisniewski?
And I play hockey, too.
What do you do when you're not playing hockey, Wiz?
I'm trying to work for a living.
What's the job?
I'm what's called a customs broker. We clear cargo into the United States with Homeland Security.
Oh, really? Now, this is fascinating to me. And I appreciate Josh Whitman's patience, but we'll get to him in just a second. Because this is an area which I'm amazed isn't a bigger campaign discussion point. You know, security at our ports. I mean, it's something you guys deal with every day.
Yep, every day.
And how do you feel as far as your level of comfort goes?
It's hard to say because everything's done electronically. You know, everything's checked before it leaves foreign countries. But can't be everywhere.
No, you gotta hope for the best, and you gotta hope where it started. They've got good security there.
You got to rely on the importers and shippers, too.
Well, I appreciate the work you do. I really do.
Thanks.
And we're going to give you Hawks tickets. Who are you going to take to the game?
My wife.
Well, you guys have a great time, Wiz. That's my man. That's my man, Wiz. Hold on, Wiz. So there you go. Courtesy of Four Seasons Heating, Air Conditioning, and Plumbing. It's Steve Cochran and Josh Whitman right after we take care of traffic with Mary on 720 WGN. All right. And at 745, let's go to Josh Whitman. You have music for Josh? Is there something you want to play?
I didn't. No, I thought
you were going to play the U of I fight song or anything?
Sure, I could get that for you.
No, well, it's too late now.
It is
Josh
too
has
late.
Already been holding on. Good morning, Mr. Athletic Director. Congratulations.
Good morning, guys. Thanks for having me on the show.
Well, congratulations to you. This is a big deal.
It's a big deal. It's such a thrill for me to be back here. I'm sitting in my office looking out the window at the State Farm Center and Memorial Stadium and just can't wipe the smile off my face.
And I want to get Mary and Andrea in here, starting with you, Andrea, because you work with your alma mater, the University of Illinois, all the time. What would you like to say to Mr. Whitman?
Well, welcome, Josh.
Thank you so much. We appreciate that.
We're very psyched to have you. I know you got a big task ahead of you, and I know probably the first question on your docket is how you're going to reinvigorate a struggling basketball and football team.
Well, you know, that certainly is important for us. Basketball, football, as everybody knows, it's no secret. Those are the engines that drive the machine here. And, you know, the first step for us is just to get our fan base excited. We understand the expectations. We want to set a vision in front of people and make them feel good about the direction that we're headed. You know, and we'll sit down and take some time and really dive deeply into the challenges that those programs face, look at what our strengths are, look at what some of our opportunities are, and develop a plan that will put us right where we want to be going forward.
At 37 years old, a lot of people are going, is he too young to be the AD? But I remember when I was 37, a couple of years ago, you know, I had a pretty good run going. I thought, well, no, I'm ready for whatever. So what do you say to people who think you're too young for this gig?
I understand that. I can see where people would look at the number and feel like you know, they wouldn't be ready for that. But you know, college athletics is changing. We're in the middle of this intense period of evolution where the program today will be very different than it is 50 years from now. But I think a lot of the decisions that we're making today are those that are going to set the tone for what we're doing 50 years from now. And in this new era of athletics, I think we need a new era of leadership and the skills that are necessary, whether it's creative problem solving, leadership, the ability to communicate effectively, to face tough decisions. I don't think those are necessarily traits that are indicative of age. I think you can be in your mid to late 30s and be well prepared to face these challenges.
You know, Andre, I think it sounds like I could be reading something into Josh, but it sounds like he wants his gig till he's 87. He mentioned 50 years on the job there twice.
I like that. I like that. we'll be glad to have you back on campus, too. I think it's really nice you well, congratulations, too. You're still considered a newlywed. And your wife, you and your wife had your first date at the Bragging Rights game, yes?
We did indeed, yeah. Thank you so much. It's been a whirlwind in a lot of ways, and she's just so excited. She's a wonderful person. As I've said to some people here in Champaign, I think the best get of this deal for the university, for our community, isn't so much me as it is Hope. I think she's just tremendous. I'm excited for people to have a chance to be around her and for her to be a part of this community as well.
Did we win that game, by the way?
The Bragging Rights
2014?
I'm sorry?
Did we win that game?
The Bragging Rights game?
Okay.
We did. We won it in thrilling fashion. The last second shot and sealed the win for the Illini.
Before I get your arch enemy, Dave Ennett, and your nemesis in here. Oh, please, Dave. You're the voice of Northwestern Athletics. Josh Whitman and you, I'm lucky you guys aren't even in the same room together.
I watched him play.
Josh is ready to go toe-to-toe right now.
Not at all.
Mary, question for Josh?
No, I just want to say congratulations and welcome to Champaign Urbana. And have you been to CAMS yet with your wife?
I have told my wife about CAMS, but I don't know that we'll be going there anytime soon. We thought about it the other night, but thought we'd go something a little more low-key. And I imagine that might be the decision most nights.
Now, Dave, I want you to be nice to Josh.
Of course I would be nice to Dave. Absolutely.
Flame-throwing, shock jock
no,
Dave Ennett.
No, not at all. Josh, things have changed since your days playing football for the Illini. How do you look at the concerns about athletes possibly being paid or receiving some sort of compensation beyond the cost of education?
Well, I think, you know, you're right. It has changed an awful lot, and the optics of college football have gotten a little disjointed. I mean, you've got coaches who are making millions and millions of dollars. You've got big stadiums full of fans, and there's no secret that big time college football makes a lot of money. And so the thing that I would say, though, that I feel has gotten lost in this conversation a lot is the value of the scholarship and the opportunity that we're giving so many people to get an education that they wouldn't otherwise receive. You know, the reality is that if you're someone like me, if you were the starting tight end on the football team, or say you're the third string right tackle, you should feel pretty good about getting the scholarship that you're getting. You know, the third string right tackle, even the starting tight end, in most cases, I wasn't, as an individual, creating any economic value beyond the value of my scholarship for the university. There are a few people who do. Certainly the quarterbacks, the receivers, the running backs, the starting five on the basketball team. But most people, you know, are actually getting a pretty good deal in terms of the economic value of their participation in our program. And so I think that there is great merit to the conversation. I'm glad we're having it. I think the cost of attendance adjustment has been very well thought out and embraced by myself and our colleagues. So I think that's a great first step. I know that it's a conversation that will continue. But I do hope that as that conversation continues to evolve, people will bear in mind the value of that scholarship, because it's significant. You know, it can be hundreds of thousands of dollars depending on the cost of attendance. And, you know, our student athletes are getting great value for the work that they're putting in on behalf of our university, and we never want to lose sight of that.
We're going to run out of time quickly here, but was part of the weighing your decision to take the job at all related to the fact that the school funding and it's tied to the state and the state doesn't have a budget, and is the athletic department going to have the money they need? Is there any concerns there, or is that above your pay grade?
Well, in a sense, it certainly is above my pay grade, but you know, there are 250 or almost 300 people in this department who are looking to me for guidance, and the state budget, of course, is a concern. I would be remiss if I didn't acknowledge that. But you know, the athletic program is a little bit insulated in some ways. We generate virtually all of our own revenue, and so we operate very much independently of a lot of the other financial elements of the university. But there are, of course, overlaps and reasons that does pose significant concerns for our staff and for us as an operation. And so, of course, yeah, absolutely concerned with it and hopeful that we're able to bring that to a resolution sooner rather than later, and very aware of the challenges that we're facing as a state and anxious to be a part of hopefully developing some of those solutions.
From the 815, my daughter's an Illini cheerleader. She met the AD last Friday. She said he was the first one to actually thank the cheerleaders for what they do. As a family, we're quite impressed. And thank you. This is from either a mom or a dad, but tell the AD thanks for the recognition of their contribution. So there you go. People like you already. Don't screw it up, Josh.
It's very nice. I tell you, it was Friday night. They had a reception here in town for Hope and for me. And we walked in, and they had the marching band was there, and the cheerleaders were there. And we had about 250 Illinois fans in attendance. And it was just an overwhelming event, and then just to walk in and have that kind of reception, it was very, very touching. And so I was thrilled to spend some time with the cheerleaders and the band and thank them for all that they do to make our program that much better and to create such a wonderful atmosphere both in our stadium and in our arena.
Well, we wish you luck. You got a lot of work to do, but good luck going forward, and I know we'll talk many times.
Guys, thanks so much for the time.
All right, all the best. Josh Whitman, your new athletic director at the University of Illinois. Nice guy.
I'm excited.
Woohoo, ILL.
Good guy. Good guy.
I didn't cause any trouble.
You were very good, Dave, yeah.
Hey, Kevin, I know the state budget thing's a problem, but could we get the athletic director off the Sports Illustrated football phone the next time he's on with us?
Yeah. I'll try to get a strong landline next time.
It's not his fault. It's Madigan's fault.
Oh, there you go.
7:55, we're back after this on 720 WGN.
Back to the Steve Cochran Show.
WGN.
Kevin, if you printed me show notes, I threw them all out. Could you reprint them for me?
Yep. Coming up.
Pretty sure you didn't print them for me. Pretty sure that's your error. E. Kevin. E.K.
My bad. It's the wing hangover.
It's all we're on. 8:10. How often do you turn the mics on? Are the mics on most of the morning? Because that could be problematic for me. At 8:10, before we get to Dean, you and I were just talking off the air, Andre. Governor Rauner isn't going or didn't go to the one-day governor's meeting.
Yeah, it's the U.S. Conference of Governors in Washington. I believe he was the only governor who didn't attend. But the reason he gave, I'm just...
Well, last year he had some sort of commitment.
I understand
conflict.
That.
But this year he just said what?
He said, yeah, he was busy back home finding ways to try to solve the state's budget crisis.
The problem with that is if all the other governors go and you don't go at a time when the state of Illinois is a national joke and there could be some benefit to networking with other governors, you create the photo op of you being the governor that doesn't go. And secondarily, the advantage you would have if you did go, you throw it out the window.
Well, also, too,
there
yeah.
There could be some benefit.
Yeah, not only that, the foundation is that, you know, he is an elected official. The people of Illinois elected him. He has a responsibility, I think. Democrat, Republican, I don't care who it is. You have a responsibility to go to this.
The summit. The counter argument would be don't spend any money flying anywhere. But, I think there is a reason for these meetings, and it's more than just free food. And the meeting should be a coalition of ideas as to how other governors are getting things done. The same reason any business gets together.
Absolutely.
So the collection of governors that gets together, sure, they're getting into hotel rooms with water balloons and they're throwing them at tourists. But other than that, it's an opportunity to talk and an opportunity to come up with some answers.
I completely agree.
And maybe find some business out there.
Right. Exactly. You know what? It's a networking opportunity as well. Yeah.
So but swing and miss, Gov.
But to say, he's trying to find answers to the state's billion, you know, $1.5 billion deficit, I think that's a really weak excuse.
Yeah, because that's your job every day.
Democrat, Republican, I don't care who it is, but they should be there.
All right, so we'll get to Dean here, and Dean is standing by. Dean is sponsored by the Captain James A. Lovell Federal Health Care Center. How was your weekend?
Delightful. I went to a governor's conference.
Oh, good news. Yeah. Good news. Dean actually went and covered for the gov.
Yeah, I was there, and we had fun.
I bet you did.
Went to some Chinese restaurants. And
did you short sheet the bed of the governor from New York?
Well, yes. Yeah. Yes, we did.
8 o'clock hour sponsored by Wintrust Community Banks. You know, we have the monitors on here, but we don't have the sound on. So there's, you know, all the television morning shows are on, but obviously the only one we pay attention to is the Channel 9 Morning News. And are you guys okay this morning? Because I'm seeing, like, zombies chasing trucks.
Yes.
I'm seeing Annabelle Laval with strippers on poles.
And?
just another day at the office.
Just another day on the WGN TV Morning News.
Everything okay over there?
Well, Anna is I didn't catch where around town is today with Anna.
Strip club, looks like.
I don't think. I think it's an exercise class where the
strip club
exercise is being done on poles.
Right, strip club.
Pole dance exercising.
Strip club.
It's all in the name of nutrition and good health.
Strip club.
And the chasing, the zombie chasing thing.
Club day strip.
You saw was all this week we are recreating scenes from Oscar-nominated movies. It's our Angry Newswriters Theater. And today they recreated a scene from Mad Max Fury Road.
Oh, boy. I tell you, I almost felt like I was there. Oh, the production money that was put into that scene.
Exactly.
Who was texting in the live truck when all of the...
That was our one of our writers.
Got it.
Anne-Marie.
Oh, good. Okay.
Yeah.
She was texting while the zombies were attacking. That's the, see, that's the joke.
And then the zombies ended up playing guitar on top of the truck.
Well, that's a, you know,
you ain't getting that at the Today Show.
That's a scene from the movie where, you know, in one of the vehicles, there is a rock and roll guitarist who is the top one of the vehicle. So one of our cameramen actually is in a rock band, and he was playing guitar on top of one of the WGN news vans.
I'm on pins and needles. What movie are you going to do tomorrow?
Hilarious. I don't know. I'm not really a part of it, Steve, because I'm a critic. It would be a conflict of interest.
That's a good point.
For me to be part of such frivolity.
So against my better judgment / our better judgment, went to see Hail Caesar yesterday because the timing was like the only movie that worked out.
Yeah.
What the hell were they thinking there?
You didn't find pieces of it really
funny. Oh, yeah, yeah. For the first, it's exactly what you said it was. For the first 30 or 40 minutes, you know, this is great. This is funny. This is a great send-up. And by the way, Josh Brolin is great.
Yep.
Josh Brolin's great in everything.
He's a good actor.
So Josh Brolin's great. And then the last 45 minutes of the movie, you're like, what the hell am I watching?
I liked... If you just took little bits and pieces of that movie, I'd loved it. I couldn't figure out, you know, the whole thing as a body is like one complete thing. I didn't get the point of the.
There's a thing that involves Channing Tatum, a submarine, a puppy, and a briefcase full of cash. And I'm telling you, that's at the point of the movie where you go, I want my money back right now.
It's the Coen brothers. You know you're going to get wacky. What about the Channing Tatum song and dance number?
Well, that was tremendous. But here's the thing. There's pieces of the movie that are like stuck in the movie for bits. What's the actress's name that's married to one of the Coens?
That would be...
famous actress from Fargo.
Yeah.
Oh, Frances McDormand.
Frances McDormand.
Yeah.
There's a scene in this movie where Frances McDormand plays a film editor. And by the way, this is the only reason this scene exists is because either, you know, it's a running gag where she's in every Coen Brothers movie or she wanted to be in the movie, which I doubt. But for some reason, she's put in the movie. This scene has no business being in the movie. It has nothing to do with anything. And Frances McDormand... at Academy Award winning, multi-nominated, Grammy, Tony, Cub Scout, Girl Scout winning actress. I mean, she's unbelievable. She sits at this thing as a film editor from the 50s, and her scarf gets caught in the editing where the film gets spooled.
Yeah, the sprockets.
The sprockets, and sucks her into the machine.
All while smoking a cigarette.
While smoking a cigarette, which she never stops smoking. And then Josh Brolin reverses it and saves her life. And it's like 30 seconds you don't need in the movie, or 90 seconds.
It was funny.
That's the movie.
Come on, it was funny.
Oh, it was stupid.
It was stupid. Of course it's stupid, but it was funny, though.
I got to talk to the Coen brothers. You got a number?
I'll send it to you later on today.
It's 8:17. When we come back, Dean, on Jimmy Buffett coming back to Chicago. Yeah. Shia LaBeouf in an elevator.
Oh, this is good.
Kesha in a battle with her agent. Is it her agent or Sony?
Her agent and Sony.
Taylor Swift's weekend, because Dean spent, when Dean wasn't at the governor's conference, he was with Taylor Swift.
Yep.
Morgan Freeman. Oh, that's the other thing I saw this Morgan, this morning. Morgan Freeman leering at some woman.
At my producer, yeah. I wasn't able to go to L.A. this weekend, so I sent my producer, and he's, to say that he's flirty with her is, an understatement.
Ronnie's staring at her girl parts.
He is staring at both of her girl parts.
Top man, pro and steady. Tune him in, because he's always ready. East Coast to the West Coast. He is a critic I trust the most. Do I like him? Yes, I suppose so. I saw the show on the show called Bozo. Garfield Goose and a guy named Ray. I watch it every year on Turkey Day. Representing.
I never tire of it.
Cracks me up every day.
Never tire of it. Dee Richards is back as we talk a little show business. By the way, Dean, that commercial, that promo I was just mentioning for that Fort Lauderdale contest. It's a big hit with some of the younger members, the male members of our sales department, because apparently women in bikinis out in the cold are sending in their pictures regularly now.
Steve said male members.
So, hey, you know, Dean sees something shiny in the newsroom, he gets distracted.
Your mom.
All right, Jimmy Buffett's coming back?
Yeah, they just announced this a few minutes ago, actually. He is going to be at the Hollywood Casino Amphitheater. It's a huge room. Saturday, June 25th, part of his I Don't Know 2016 tour. Tickets are going to go on sale a week from today, February 29th, through Ticketmaster. His opening act, this is cool, Huey Lewis in the News.
Oh, that's great.
How about that?
As with all Jimmy Buffett concerts, every pair of tickets gets a free can of Pringles.
The Hollywood Casino, they have issued a statement saying they're looking forward to all the parrot heads partying in the parking lot.
Well, so good for them.
You know.
Hey, what happened to Buffett playing Wrigley every year?
Yeah, I don't know why he made a decision to do this year. Instead of an outdoor arena like he always does, but it's fantastic that it's here. It's going to be a great way to see Jimmy Buffett.
Trouble with agents is point number two. Andrea, you had an issue with an agent who was a jerk to you. We've all had different agent experiences, not so positive at one time or another. I was able to leave one agent before he famously stole all of his clients' money. So most of the agents, like most people, are good people, but there are some who are really trouble. So what's this Kesha story?
So there is this actual producer by the name of Dr. Luke, who Kesha alleges sexually and verbally abused her every day for years with the knowledge of Sony Entertainment, which was the record label. So Kesha went to court against both of them and lost the case. It got to the New York Supreme Court. They ruled against Kesha. She just wanted to get out of her recording contract with Sony, so she didn't have to work with Dr. Luke anymore.
And it's a Colonel Tom thing too, right? Where he takes a lot of the money.
I believe that's the case. I don't have all the details of it, the personal arrangement between the two, but he has been working with her for years. That's certainly very possibly the case, but she just wanted to get away from it at all. And there is a contract that goes on for 5 or 6 more years. The New York Supreme Court said that she's unable to break that contract, that it is a binding contract. She can't get out of it. So Taylor Swift and lots of others are coming in to help her fight this, appeal it. Taylor Swift over the weekend donated $250,000 to help her pay her legal bills. And fans of Kesha, there's something like 200,000 names now that are on a petition signature launching a boycott against all Sony products. So,
Can she re-submit this case in some form with more of the criminal side, not just breaking a contract, but criminal charges against this guy, or was that part of the old one?
Yeah, there have not been any criminal charges filed against the producer. He's denying all the allegations. In fact, he's filed a countersuit against Kesha. But I suppose that she cannot file any criminal charges against him at this point. It's been going on for quite some time, and there's never been any criminal charges filed in the first place unless they're done. I don't know, you know, if statute of limitations applies on this or what the deal is, but this is definitely a case that we have not heard the end of.
Speaking of creeps in the news, Bill Cosby's wife, Camille, filed some emergency extension to keep her from being deposed. Is that
is going to happen? They did make the announcement that the deposition is going to happen. Camille Cosby filed an emergency motion to get out of making that deposition today. Her attorneys are claiming that it's just going to be a media circus. It serves no purpose other than to harass and embarrass her. They're saying that, you know, they're arguing that there's no purpose for this, but a magistrate's order said that she must come for the deposition today in this defamation lawsuit that's been brought against Bill Cosby by seven women who claim that he sexually assaulted them over 10 years ago.
Shia LaBeouf is in an elevator for 24 hours. Why?
Because, you know, he likes to do these performance art things. Remember, he sat at a table with a paper bag on his head.
Yeah, and then like he sat in a movie theater watching his own movies.
Watching his own movies for over 24 hours. So over the weekend at Oxford University, he spent 24 hours inside of an elevator. And, the, you know, the doors would open and close. As word got out on the internet, you know, fans were coming to get in the elevator with him and go up and down and, you know, take a ride with him on the elevator. And
that was that they broke up their meeting of people who have nothing else to do with their time?
I was going to say, you know, in case you're wondering what your college students are doing with your hard-earned money, tuition money, especially at Oxford University,
right,
one of the most prestigious in the world.
These are the smartest kids in the world.
There is where your tuition
riding an elevator with that jackass.
Riding in the elevator. So, you know, people are coming and going. You could, you know, this was like Friday into Saturday for 24 hours. You could click on this website and watch it live of people getting in, getting out, small talk, autographs, pictures. One guy gets in the elevator. The door is closed. You can still hear what's going on because the microphones were live. One guy gets on and says that he is doing a performance art project and would like it very much. If you would punch me in the face, he asked Shia LaBeouf to punch him in the face for his performance project. Shia LaBeouf hesitates. They go back and forth. All right, maybe not a punch, maybe a slap. Oh, I don't really want to. Dude, I just met you. And then you hear a slap sound. The doors are still closed. You hear the slap sound. You hear other people in the elevator laughing. And the doors open, and they go on their merry way. Just another day at Oxford University.
Shia LaBeouf is an idiot. Morgan Freeman, I don't have time to play this clip, but I do want to know the story. Morgan Freeman was hitting on your producer.
Yep.
And did he admit he was hitting on her?
Well, he didn't, you know, say I'm hitting on her, but he is staring at, apparently she was wearing, you know, maybe like a really interesting belt buckle or something, because he, you know, his eyes were not focused on her eyes. His eyes were focused below her eyes.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm assuming it must have been a belt buckle.
Yeah, I'm thinking
maybe
it
a
wasn't.
Nice bracelet or
I think he was looking at her boobs.
Something that he was staring at the whole time in this interview as she's getting up. You know, and she's moving. His eyes are following her like radar.
All right. Now, in defense of Morgan Freeman.
No, but then he asks her, are you married?
Okay, there goes your defense.
No, but in defense of Morgan
your
Freeman,
witness.
If you had a GoPro camera on somebody's head to stare at me or stare at Dean or stare at Dave especially, Kevin, everybody. Mm-hmm. You know, if a guy was judged on what he looked at throughout the day, you're probably going to have these kind of issues.
At some point, though, you have to realize how creepy you're being when, like, you are just unashamedly staring at them.
You're right, Morgan. Morgan, I tried.
You mean those belt buckles?
Yeah. Yeah, he really didn't feel badly about it. I saw the clip.
Yeah. Let's just say
and happy birthday to Tom Skilling on Saturday,
yes.
Tom Skilling's birthday. And I believe we have a clip. A little crazy in the hizzy. Yeah, that was Tom Skilling's house.
He goes nuts.
Yeah.
Throws a huge.
You know what it was? It was a house party.
Yeah.
It's crazy when you two were on the trampoline and Dean fell backwards into your arms.
Yeah.
Crazy times.
Yeah. I said, put the wall up around the trampoline.
I'll be okay.
All right, I'll talk to you later.
Bye.
That's Dean. We're back with the big story next, 720 WGN. 8 o'clock hour, sponsored by Wintrust Community Bank. I'm sure Coach Q could use a little who this morning. 8:42 in the morning. We go to the coach now. So, how was your weekend?
Well, it was good up to the game time.
I don't even know how you explain that one. And, I don't know how you explain it because, look, these guys have all the talent in the world, and it just wasn't there yesterday.
It was a tough game. We didn't have much going for us, give them credit. They had a lot of momentum coming off their trip, and, they've had their first outdoor game and played like it was game seven, and we didn't have the same urgency, but they were firing, and we had a little delay, and whether it was our quickness, handling the puck, stumbling, we had a lot of things that we traditionally don't do, so it was a... we're on the receiving end basically the whole game and couldn't get going.
I was concerned maybe it was some bad lutefisk or some Minnesota. Yeah, I lived in Minneapolis for 5 years. They're nice people, but they're sneaky.
I don't know. I think they're the nicest fans. Being there in the playoffs the last 3 years.
They're great people.
After being in different places.
Yeah.
I mean, the fans are pretty genuine there as far as, hey, they wish you the best. Keep going after and root for you along the way. So it's and you can see the fans having fun in the stands. It looked like everybody had a good time outside of Blackhawk fans watching it progress. But it was I think both Blackhawk fans and Minnesota fans are having a good time.
Yeah, it's an amazing event, but it's not an event you guys have had a lot of success in. Is there anything to make it be a 1-4 outdoors?
To 1-4, 1-3.
It's 1-3. I'm told it's 1-3.
Yes.
It's 1-3.
Okay. It feels like 1-4 after yesterday. the last game was the only time where I think we're out of it. The Detroit game, actually, we're up 3-1, and
yep.
We're going very well in that Detroit game there, and they had a little run on us there. So, and then I go back to the Washington game. We could have easily won that game or got it to overtime. And then the outdoor game here in Chicago at Soldier – We played a great game that night. It was kind of what we saw last night the other way around. So it was that's why it was hard to see that coming. I didn't, I thought it was going to be a very intense game, very close game. And, it's tough to predict games in our business.
Well, you've had quite a week, starting with the win at Madison Square Garden, the trip to the White House, and then you go to Minnesota. And you had, not only was the alumni game play, but you also, as you guys have done prior to all these outdoor games, you got out on the ice with the Wounded Warriors. What was that like?
Oh, that was great. I love that. And the players do as well, and the Wounded Warriors look forward to it. So it was everybody's out there playing hockey, something they love outdoors in a great setting and a great environment. So it was it's competitive as heck. It seemed like the game went long this year because the guys were at the end of it with like spent. So it's a good workout, and everybody's having fun the whole time, and they're playing for keeps, and our guys are having fun doing it as well. So it's it's a good day. We had a good little practice before that as well, and it's always fun being on the ice. That was the fourth time we played the Wounded Warriors, so it's a look forward to that.
In the alumni game, Troy Murray scores a goal. And you couldn't hear this, obviously, because you were working yesterday. But in the pregame yesterday, Troy was talking about hitting the Advil hard after. So, but the alumni game had to be a lot of fun. I know they had a reception for the guys on Friday night. And I think if you're new to the Blackhawks bandwagon in the past few years, God bless you. Everybody's welcome. But, man, that old Blackhawks-Minnesota-North Stars rivalry was something else.
That game was great. I enjoyed watching the game. The guys were playing hard. The goaltending in the game, Jimmy was great too, but all four goalies were spectacular in the game. Looked like they didn't have too much rust to that they had picked up over the years, and they looked pretty good. And, the pace was good. Troy makes a great play on the goal. Jimmy makes an unbelievable save. Savvy's still got some speed out there. Chelly looks like he still could play. And you could talk about everybody, but I'm sure the camaraderie between their own teammates and then getting together against an old rival and sharing some old war stories were a lot of fun for everybody. So, and I saw Troy, after the game on the bus there or on the plane, saying he's how sore he was from the game before. So it was I'm sure a lot of those guys, you know, put some ice packs on their on the end of their beer bottles last night or that night.
A good time for a little bit of a break. I mean, you stay at home, you play Nashville. It's a big game for you on Thursday. Do you expect to have Hossa back by then?
I don't expect him back. We'll see this week.
You said a couple of weeks. Yeah,
we get on the ice tomorrow. It's still a little too soon there, and we need him to practice a little bit to get a pretty good idea where he's at.
You know, it's a three-team battle in the Central at the top, and then it drops off significantly. But everybody's obviously dangerous, as we saw yesterday. But then, you know, looking a little bit ahead, because that's my favorite thing to do, and next Sunday against the Capitals, who have had a tear-em-up season on the East. Any guys on your staff take a look at those guys and go, we could see these guys down the road, and they're going to show us something that we could use down the road? Do you do that kind of research this far out?
Well, we usually focus on our next opponent, and then we have days or time in between where we zero on our next opponent. But you know, when you get close to the very end of it, you know, you look and you start handicapping who you could potentially be playing in their first round, and you know, sometimes you got as many as 6-7 teams where you could possibly, you know, could be playing. But you hope you're part of that process where you're in a playoff spot, or you can. You know, you're looking at who you could be playing, then you zero a little bit on the teams you're going to be playing on. But, you know, when you're playing a top team, there's obviously a lot of things that you're looking at that you're going to say, oh, they're doing right, and they got a lot of things going for them, whether it's their lines and the depth of their team or the physicality of their team, what's making it work with Washington, as they got a little bit of newness to their team, the consistency of their top guys scoring. They added some more scores to their team, but they got some way more depth than they've ever had, and they're big, and they play a hard game, and they're as good as anybody we've seen over the last 2 years over the course of the regular season.
Yeah, and a good coach there too. Got us with the Preds forever. So a couple of days off, you going to kick back a little, or it doesn't stop? It's too late in the season, and the Q's got to keep working.
We'll be keep moving along here. You know, they got the Duncan charitable event tonight.
Yep.
And then they have we have practice tomorrow, and we'll see how that goes, and gear up for Nashville.
Last thing, and this goes to the Eddie Olczyk sermon all the time, because he always wants to teach the juniors and teach the kids. From a coach's standpoint, these guys have been there, done that. Do you need to say much to them after a game like yesterday, or because of all the success you have had, the less said the better?
All timing. Sometimes when you address it, how you address it, you know, they'll know that yesterday's performance was not good. Whether they hear it from a teammate, whether they hear it from us at that moment, a day later, 2 days later, they all know it was unacceptable. And you know, let's go fix it, and let's not make that. Let's not do that again.
That seems to work. You know, if Q said that to me, Dave, I wouldn't do it again.
I think he has, and you haven't.
That's how you learn.
Convince you on that one. You weren't buying that one.
That's how you learn. Well, take a couple hours off, man. Enjoy the day, and we'll talk to you later in the week.
All right. Thanks, guys.
See you later. That's Coach Q, sponsored by Kevin. Who's sponsored by?
Hooters. Gotta love Hooters.
Hooters is the original wing joint. You know what else Hooters is? And you guys probably don't know this. Hooters is a way of life.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, without a doubt. Mary, do you have anything you want to add at this point?
Maybe where is the gift card?
Yeah, where's the Hooters gift card?
I
yeah.
swear you guys think I have
was supposed
I do
to
not.
Have it.
The traveling Hooters gift card has been missing.
I think Kevin took now. A trip to Hooters.
No. It's Andrea had it last, so.
I would only have one place for it. Well, many places for it, but yeah, I don't have it. I swear I don't. Ooh, maybe it went the same route as your barbecue set, Kevin.
No, we know who stole that.
They go together.
And he still works here. Oh. All right, Mary, what do you have? Hey! Cheap Trick played yesterday after the first intermission. Is this like a Cheap Trick curse? That's what a couple of texters are suggesting.
Maybe they should have had the Who.
Cheap Trick have a bad experience with the Blackhawks at some point?
I don't know.
I don't think so.
Multiple texters suggesting there is some problem with Cheap Trick playing this time.
I did not know that. I don't know. I'm seeing them this summer.
Clarification texters at 312-981-7200. Ross, if I want... Ross Cochran's here. How are you?
I'm happy to be here.
If I... Oh, by the way, how's Abigail?
She's great.
Yeah. You said you put a Michelin suit on her yesterday. She's too young to work. Why is she hawking a tire joint?
That's not at all what happened.
What happened?
There is a sleep suit that's literally called something like Baby Merlin's magical sleep suit situation.
So it's not like a Michelin man suit?
No, it kind of looks like that, but the idea is it helps most babies, as it's been explained to me, don't like sleeping in a bassinet. They don't like sleeping, you know, flat on their back. They've spent all their life being held, and why would they want to sleep flat on their back?
I don't believe Abigail has not been held since the moment she was born.
Right.
And there's this thing that Ross and Lauren try to do now where they pretend they're not home while relatives like zombies line up at the door. Hey, you home? Just stop by to see Abigail.
Meaning you?
Listen, if it were just me, that would be a minimal problem for them. You did and by the way, he's not criticizing. I'm mocking. But
I appreciate that. That'll save me a meeting later.
Yeah, but you, up until like 2 or 3 weeks ago, there was like one day since you'd been born where you didn't have visitors.
Yes.
Well, that's your fault. Have a cute kid. This is what happens.
That's true. That's my bad.
All right, so what is this Michelin suit you put her in?
It helps them sleep because it provides the effect of like feeling a little bit of like...
Like you're being held.
Yeah.
Do they have one of my size? That sounds comfortable.
I don't think they do. I think
cool
for
if you had a big and tall.
It would actually have to be a Michelin suit.
Yeah, double X.
Yeah.
Yeah, just a double X. That's all I need. All right. So if people want more information on anything but what we just discussed,
yeah,
they can go to the WGNRadio.com page. But there's a live blog of the show up now?
Yes. Yeah, so WGNRadio.com/Cochran. That's the new home for everything that we do on this show digitally. So what I like about a live blog is it can be the things that we're looking at. So it's, you know, for
POV of the show.
Right. So it's, oh, hey, here's this interesting story, whether or not we talk about it, or with like Dr. Most earlier, here's all of these notes that Dr. Most talked about. Podcast will be up soon. So that's kind of what the live blog is for. It's a links and information page. Apparently we used to do that all the time. We brought it back in the form of a live blog.
So that will be constantly updated for every show.
Yes. So if you are at work and you're listening to us on your computer or your radio next to your computer, you can pull up WGNRadio.com/Cochran. You'll see the live blog. It's dated for today. And then you can just have that open while you're listening to the show.
I want to have a listener come in and live blog the show. Can we do that?
That would kind of be cool to see their perspective.
Yeah, a listener comes in and like sits here and watches us and live blogs the show.
That sounds like an invigorating morning.
Well, for us.
Look, I know it bores you and Kevin, because it's not on a screen in front of your face.
Right.
But having said that, a listener might be thrilled to come in and hang out.
I bet they would. We'd love to have them.
Are you putting tweets up there?
Yes.
Tweets and stuff?
So there's an interesting tweet that you have in your hands that I just posted on the live blog.
Dave, this relates to you. You ready?
I'm on the live blog. I just saw this.
This is from Donald J. Trump at Real Donald Trump. This happened 9 minutes ago. Well, more than that now because it was just handed to me. But yes. It's still warm.
Okay. Yeah. Like the Scantron papers?
No, like the BS that comes out of his mouth.
Oh, got it.
Here's the tweet verbatim. I hear the Ricketts family, who own the Chicago Cubs, are secretly spending monies against me. They better be careful. They have a lot to hide. Ooh.
Okay.
Ooh. Battle of the billionaires. So what's Trump have on Ricketts that he's threatening to release?
I don't know. I mean, Joe Ricketts obviously has been involved in...
Ameritrade, right? Didn't he start Ameritrade?
Well, and politics, too. I mean, he's been a political figure.
But this sounds like there's some big secret in the Ricketts family that Trump thinks he knows.
He's going to blow the whistle on the Ricketts.
Right, right. No response yet from the Ricketts. Trump's very angry.
He is.
Very, very angry.
Maybe it was the way he was treated. You know, I think he did sing Take Me Out to the Ball Game a few years ago.
At Wrigley?
Yes, he did.
How'd that go?
I don't think it went too well.
If that happened,
I'm pretty
we've
sure.
Got to have tape of it.
We had the game, and I was at the game. I remember thinking, why do they have Donald Trump here singing at Wrigley.
We'll was it that. Trump or was it just his hair? Because sometimes his hair makes separate appearances.
You might be right.
Yeah. And this, Andrea, the story and the Ricketts thing, for people that don't know, because it just broke yesterday, is which member of the Ricketts family is?
It's Marlene Ricketts. That's Joe Ricketts' wife.
And she was revealed to be the billionaire or the hundred millionaire behind spending a bunch of money in a super PAC.
Against Trump.
A negative super PAC.
Right.
To fight Trump.
$3 million she gave. These are some campaign finance reforms that came out over the weekend. She gave $3 million to Our Principles PAC, and that's the super PAC that just crushed Trump with negative ads in New Hampshire and South Carolina.
I hear the Ricketts family own the Cubs are spending money against me. They better be careful. They have a lot to hide. Ooh, just gives you the shivers. The Trumpster's angry. It's 9 o'clock. We're back with the news next on 720 WGN.
This is the Steve Cochran Show, live from the Allstate Showcase Studio on Chicago's very own
720 WGN.
Enjoy the tropics. 40 today, 41 tomorrow, 22 by Sunday. 60% chance of snow on Wednesday. But one more blast of cold winter weather, and that's going to be fine. My prediction, and keep in mind, I was a weatherman at Grumpy Old Men, so I know what I'm talking about. My prediction is a week from now, so next Monday, Tuesday, we'll be in the 70s.
That'd be great. Yeah. I doubt that'll happen, though.
We don't know until we get there, do you?
70s?
Yeah, 70s.
Yeah, yeah, okay.
Yeah, that's my prediction. On the 26th of March, what are you doing?
I'm not quite sure yet. I have a couple options that night.
Actually, you don't. You're going to be at the Wilmette Theater. Now, you can have dinner, certainly, but you'll be at the Wilmette Theater for your stand-up comedy debut.
That's still a go, right? We're
still it's a go. The Wilmette Theater, the stand-up comedy debut of Andre Darlis, along with Kevin Powell and Ross Cochran and John DeCoste and me.
You know, they're seasoned veterans now of the stage.
John and I, yeah, we've been up a few times.
Well, I mean, Kevin and Ross, too, because now they're...
Well, Kevin, you've done it twice? Is that right?
Well, three. The two times on New Year's and then the one over at Zany's in Rosemont.
Right, and Ross has been on stage hundreds of times.
Right, yeah. Right. So, no, I think it'll be great. I'm happy I'll be surrounded by you guys and you won't make fun of me at all, I'm sure.
Now, the three of you worked on your sets at all?
Yeah.
Look at me.
Well, I jotted some notes
look
down.
At me.
No, I did.
Look at me.
What am I called? My routine? No, my set. Look, I even wrote down set, and I started jotting down some ideas.
Okay, good. That's good. Okay, this week we have to meet on this.
And I have to practice it?
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Kevin, how comfortable were you when John and I made you stand up on the stage at Zany's Rosemont with nobody in the room and do your act?
You know, I know you guys very well now, and doing my set in front of you and John, just us three alone in Zany's, was much more difficult than doing it in front of 1,000 people on New Year's Eve.
That's great. Yeah. So I will not be doing it alone in front of you and John.
No, in the Wilmette Theater, he will tell you I can get tickets in just a second because there's an event we want to plug that's going on much more, much sooner than the 26th of March with our friend Jen Weigel, who is a Wilmette Theater regular. Do you have stock in that theater now or something?
Yeah, really. I was just wondering. Yeah, I have a bedroom upstairs. There's a cot. And a closet of clothes. So you know, I can change costumes for all the different events.
Yeah, because it seems like you're working awfully hard there at the Wilmette. Do you clean up after yourself, or is there someone else that
always.
Helps with that?
Of course. I sweep the floors. I shine the shoes.
Nice.
But no, if Kevin wants to practice before the 26th, you know, I do Friday Funny Fair, the first Friday every month where we do stand-up. So, Kev, if you want to come and practice your set on the 4th of March with a loving and supportive audience, and it'll be...
Yeah, we could send Kevin and Andrea.
And Andrea,
wait, what?
Too. Oh, my
what?
Gosh.
Oh, God.
On,
by the way, Jen's done stand-up.
I know, Jen. Yeah. We might have to go to lunch. I might need some pointers from you.
Okay, well, I'm not the veteran that Patty is or Steve or Kevin, but I am happy to share what not to do. And apparently talking about your dating life is not the worst thing to do, but it's also not the best if you, you know, if you
well, it depends want to embarrass yourself. It depends on the level of bitter in the audience. You know, I'm just going to
change a few things here. Okay, go ahead.
Yeah, right. Get your pencil out. All right, we'll go to lunch, Andrea. That'll be so
sounds
fun.
Good.
Definitely. Come to Friday Funny.
All right, so at the Wilmette Theater, where you can get tickets for the 26th, you can get tickets for all the Wilmette Theater events, soon to be called the Jen Weigel Theater. You can go to WilmetteTheater.com, spelled the fancy way, T-H-E-A-T-R-E. Wilmette spelled the traditional way with a W. Wilmette Theatre.
That's
com.
Right.
Get your tickets for Easter Saturday night show, the 26th. And for tonight, what's happening tonight?
So Carolyn Mace is back, the medical intuitive, New York Times bestselling author, Anatomy of the Spirit, Defying Gravity. We talked about her back in September, and I should tell you, Steve, somebody came who listened to your show. They came because they had nothing going on that night. They were kind of curious. It's my Conversations with Weigel series, and they pulled me aside afterwards and thanked me because it was just a really enlightening, cool, not your typical weeknight conversation. And you know, she really tells it like it is. She can look at you. I mean, this is a woman who was a journalist and was writing and editing books and found herself with this gift where she basically can look at someone and tell you what's medically wrong with you. It's wild. So any MDs out there that want to show up, there'll be a very interesting Q&A at the end. I really would love you to join us because she tells it like it is.
Have there been doctors who have come before, doctors or nurses, who question the validity of her, that type of thing, you know, face-to-face?
She worked hand-in-hand with a doctor at Harvard Medical School where he would bring her cases, and the two of they've written books together. So
isn't this kind of loosely what the House premise was meant to be, the TV show House? Like the guy had some sort of feeling for House. House was a who starred in House? Somebody look this up.
Hugh Laurie or whatever.
That would be the guy. Hugh Laurie stars in House, and he's this wackadoodle doctor. Not that this describes your guest tonight. He's this wackadoodle doctor who, once you've gone through all the medical reasons for a person's condition, can go in, take a look, and he has a higher sense of what's really going on.
Right. Yes. Well, she wishes, you know, kind of that she could have gone to medical school because then she would really be the best doctor ever. But she doesn't have that background. She has a journalism background. And then this intuitive thing came into play. And so she works with the scientists and the MDs to kind of better understand the anatomy and what's happening and then tells them what she sees and feels. And she does these workshops all over the world now. I mean, it's pretty cool. For her to do the Wilmot Theater now twice in 6 months is pretty unprecedented because it's pretty hard to book this lady for less than 10 grand and she's doing it for a glass of Pinot Grigio. So we love her.
Must be good Pinot Grigio. No, she loves you. That's why she's doing it. Yeah. Now, am I correct? Because you've swam in this pool for a while now. You understand this world much better than the rest of us. To me, someone like her, if she went to medical school, would ruin it. I would think
would
that
ruin
would
ruin it.
Yeah, I would think that would that would pollute the vision.
Well, the thing is that our medical schools only teach the illness. They don't teach the wellness. And so what she tries to help people is to stay in the wellness, and then when the illness shows up, we can understand how some of that is triggered by our emotions, for sure, and some of it is just environmental, and it just happens, and some of it is genetic. So, you know, it's there are a lot of tiers, there are a lot of levels to this condo. But you're right, she doesn't agree with a lot of the medical community, and the main thing being they don't treat the person. There is no bedside manner class in medical school, and it should be. These students are deprived of sleep. Would you really want someone operating on you that worked 80 hours in the week? I wouldn't want that guy flying my airplane. You want the well-rested person, not the one that's fried at both ends. So we have to change our entire thinking around the medical community in so many ways, and she's really vocal about that as well. But she also really respects those people who are changing the world and coming up with ways to heal those who are sick. So it's kind of an interesting duality.
So, if I come in, it's more in-depth than this, Andrea, but if I come to the show tonight at the Wilmot Theater, I sit down with her, and she's not going to look at me and go, well, you're bald, because that's obvious. It's something that is...
It's deeper.
Do I need to be feeling badly when I talk to her? Like, I've got something... Okay.
No, so she's not going to do that. The first conversation that happens is our conversation, and then people can ask questions and raise their hand. And she doesn't want anyone to raise their hand and be like, do I have cancer? That's not what it's about. People might raise their hand and say, you know what, my daughter has had this chronic illness. Well, you know, we're concerned because of blah, blah, and blah. You know, what are your thoughts on this or what are your thoughts on that? And she's really, really forthcoming. Like I said, one lady just stood up and said, I feel too many people's problems and it's debilitating. And she was like, well, learn to deal with it and shut it down. Next. I mean,
right.
She's not going to sit there and hold your hand through every ache and pain, but she will tell you what she feels intuitively might be going on for you. And sometimes it really is your emotion and sometimes it isn't. It's just bad luck or something happened, like I said, environmental. But she's really forthcoming and she'll be signing books afterwards, which again is pretty unusual. So it's an intimate setting to get to know one of the New York Times bestselling authors in a very unusual and, I would say, informative way.
What time is the show tonight?
7 p.m., baby.
Yeah, it's too late for me. It's way too late. Can you do one at noon?
All my friends, they wake up at 2 in the morning and they can't come. I think they should just come, and you should come and nap upstairs in my little room with the closet there.
Look, you're always trying to get me into your little room with the closet. At some point, we have to keep this professional. But it's 7 o'clock for me is probably not my best functioning time. So can I get a copy of the book? Because I'll put her on to talk about her book at some point.
You know what? Yes. Also, we're going to be recording it for my podcast.
Oh, well, there you go.
I'm Spiritual Damage. So we're going to be recording the event. The podcast will then be available on WGNplus.com. My podcast launched with you all a couple weeks ago. Very excited about that. So these conversations will continue and live on digitally.
All right. So again, tonight, Wilmette Theater, oddly enough, in Wilmette. Hard to miss it. Right downtown. What's that, Central Ave? Is that the way?
Yeah, 1122 Central. You can get tickets on JenWeigel.com, or you can call the theater, too.
All right, and again, it's wilmettheater.com, W-I-L-M-E-T-T-E, theater, T-H-E-A-T-R-E.com, and that's where later on March 26th, we'll be doing the stand-up show on Easter Saturday night. Get your tickets for all of this, but see Jen and Carolyn Mace tonight. Thank you, Jen.
Thank you. I will see you on the 26th. I will be cheering, and I will have dolls on.
You'll be heckling. Who are you kidding?
Okay, maybe.
All right, 922, we're back after this on 720 WGN. Tomorrow, barring major news events and Donald Trump dropping the bomb on the Ricketts family, I will not be talking about campaign 2016 tomorrow on the show, except for Grzanich's not top of the hour news, your big story, and Senator Durbin at 7:10. Other than that, the rest of the show will be campaign 2016 free.
Well, technically, when I'm doing the big story, yeah, you do. Sometimes we talk about it.
I can't interrupt you. I can't interrupt you. I can't talk about it.
Ever?
In other words, if you people...
On any story or just the campaign story?
The campaign story.
Okay.
So if you guys are sick of me talking about the campaign, and you know, I mean, you know me, if you're listening to show number 592, you know I'm not going to stop. You need to listen tomorrow. Tomorrow's your day. Other than 7:10 with Senator Durbin, I will not talk about the campaign. Kevin, do you have some sort of alarm system if I stray in some form? Or
like I'll just buzz in to stop you, give you some sort of signal?
Maybe the wrong answer from the game shows? The game show wrong answer buzzer?
Just one of these guys?
Yeah.
Maybe we can attach like the little electroshock thing to your...
sensitive parts?
No. No, I was going to say to your hand or something, like a zap.
Steve, when you say sensitive parts, what do you mean by that?
My eyes are up here, Kevin.
Okay.
Morgan Freeman.
Here's the thing about tomorrow is if there's any breaking news, I'm not sticking to this pledge.
Right.
Like, for instance, if the Trump thing comes along tomorrow, I'm still going to jump on the Trump thing.
Oh, well, you have to.
I mean, I suppose I could give you the Trump tweet to read, but then I would have to not comment on it.
Yeah, that's going to be tough.
That's difficult.
That's going to be really tough.
So I believe that by this time tomorrow, I will have violated this pledge many times. But as of right now, I'm saying I will not talk about campaign 2016 tomorrow, with the exception of the top and the bottom of the hour and the Durbin interview at 7:10.
Okay.
And I won't be talking at 7, or I should say at the top and the bottom of the hour, because you'll do the big story and Steve will do the top of the hour news. But at 7:10, I have to talk. It's the interview with Durbin. It'd be weird if I didn't talk.
You keep trying to talk yourself into this. Do you realize
that? I'm trying to talk myself into it.
Uh-huh.
One of the major developments of the weekend was Jeb Bush dropping out. $150 million spent on the Jeb Bush campaign.
I actually thought he would stay through Super Tuesday.
Wow.
And then if he continued to have poor showing, then drop out. But were you surprised that he dropped out?
I was a little surprised, but I think what broke the straw and the camel and all the things that broke was the fact that South Carolina was his best bet. Right. He had his mother in. He had his brother in. The Bush family has always done very well in South Carolina. And he finished tied with Kasich for fourth.
Yeah, and I think he was counting on the Nikki Haley endorsement. And when that went to Rubio, that was kind of the last straw.
So you can look at this a number of ways, but for people wondering where the Bush 10% goes, you got to believe a majority of it's going to go to Kasich. Now everybody's going to go, no, Rubio. Rubio gets all of it. I don't think so. Because the people that were considering Jeb Bush were considering someone they thought could be the grown-up in the room. Obviously, there weren't enough of them. But if you take 8 of the 10%, or even 6 of the 10%, and you give it to Kasich, well, now he's breathing down Cruz and Rubio's necks.
Right. But I think, don't you think a lot of that might go to Rubio, too?
I don't think so. I don't think so.
A little portion.
I mean, in Florida, for sure.
Right.
Because they're both Florida guys. But I think there's a pretty good opportunity because of Rubio's inconsistencies that Kasich gets the lion's share of the Bush vote. Time will tell. We shall see. Kasich's positive approach seems to be cutting through. The fact that he won the governor's bracket and he's a positive guy seems to be cutting through. The question is there enough of those out there short of the general election to make a difference in the very angry primary as it continues? We'll take a break. Come back with that big story next on 720 WGN. It's 9:43. You want to introduce our next guest?
Yeah, very happy to have with us. Very famous last name, as we all know. Margo Pritzker is joining us now, talking about there's a special program. Actually, there's a special organization, Women on Call, and they're having a very special program tomorrow night with a keynote delivered by Madeleine Albright.
10th anniversary meet and match event, and the former Secretary of State will be in the house. She's been topical and in the news for a while, and Ms. Pritzker joins us now. Good morning.
Good morning.
Congratulations in advance. I know it's going to be a big night.
It is, the 10th big night that we've had so far, which is great, and really great that former Secretary of State Madeleine Albright agreed to do this.
Margaret,
we're thrilled.
Tell us, first of all, about Women on Call.
So our mission is... we're an online network created to connect professional women with meaningful causes and relevant skills-based volunteer opportunities. That was a sentence, a long sentence. but that's what we do. We take these two groups, nonprofits and professional and experienced women as volunteers, and we connect them for a high-opportunity volunteer opportunities.
A women's networking organization, really.
Yes. It's a match organization.
Mm-hmm.
So who brings the need?
So it's worked through an alert system. So you sign on as a member and you fill out your profile, whether you're a nonprofit or a volunteer. And let's say it's in the legal area. If a nonprofit needs somebody to look over a legal document, or if it's in the finance, a finance document, they will put that need in an alert that we send out to volunteers who have said they fill that profile in those two cases, legal or financial. And if they are willing to help, they sign on. They say yes to the volunteer opportunity that's been described to them, both who the nonprofit is, how much time it will take, and what the opportunity is.
It's like speed dating for the greater good of all of us.
Yeah. It's exactly speed dating, but for the nonprofit world. And that's what our meet and match is about. It is based on speed dating. We sit all the nonprofits down at a table, and every 5 to 7 minutes, we ring a bell and move through the volunteers.
And what a great get with Madeleine Albright, too. She's an amazing speaker. Put all your politics aside. Her stories are fantastic.
Yes.
The stories she can't tell are even better.
Yeah, exactly.
Right, and she tells them now because she can.
Right.
She's a rock star. She's a woman who walks the talk.
It's womenoncall.org for more information. As you grow this event each year, year to year, where does it go from here? Because it seems like you got a pretty good business model, but I know you're always looking for new ways to turn it.
So we are across the U.S., so you can sign on to Women on Call from any place in the U.S. We want to make that more robust. We have a goal. Andrea Albrecht is our executive director, and our goal together is to have these meet and matches, same date, in major cities across the U.S., because it is our one event where we come offline and actually meet people, which I think people like to do. So it's a good networking event. I guess a future goal would be to go global.
Sure.
Because there's no reason this platform of joining people couldn't be anywhere in the world. So I guess that's, you know, future. Once we've got it really institutionalized would be the word, I guess, in the U.S.
And there's a wait list for tomorrow's event. Is that correct?
It is. We've sold out.
Well, that's a good problem to have.
Yeah. It is a good problem to have.
But for people that maybe can't get in, is there any sort of multimedia presentation or future podcast or anything you're planning on doing?
Yes. I mean, it'll certainly be live streamed, and you can get onto our site anytime to access either as a nonprofit or as a volunteer. And so I think, people who turn up at the door, we probably won't turn them away.
You'll find room for them somewhere.
We'll find room for them somewhere because, it is service. It is volunteering. I mean, that's why we're free online. It's for both groups. We want people to be doing this.
Tomorrow, 6 to 8, Chase Tower, and thank you for doing it. And again, it is womenoncall.org. Stay in touch, please.
Thank you.
Margot Pritzker.
So. How great of a speech is that going to be?
Madeleine Albright was in here a couple of times back in the old days.
I remember that, yep.
And she wrote a book or two, but she'll spitfire.
She's
5 feet of trouble is what she is.
I think she was on with you when she told the story about Saddam Hussein, and when she met with him, she walked out of the room and he said, "I don't like her. She talks too much, and she reminds me of a viper. I don't like her." So the next meeting, she was famous for wearing those brooches and those pins.
Yeah.
She had a big, oversized brooch of a viper, snake.
She said,
"I wore this for you."
Nice touch. There was another story, and I don't remember the context, but I remember the punchline. And it was another one of these world leaders she had to sit down with. And he was throwing around veiled threats. And she looked at him. And keep in mind, she's 5 feet tall.
Yeah.
She looked at him and she said, "Do I look intimidated?"
No.
And walked out of the room.
You're right, though.
She's
stories,
tough, man.
The stories she tells are great. But the stories she could tell now, wow.
So tomorrow night. And you will not be turned away at the door. It's nice of Ms. Pritzker for throwing that out, right? It's 9:50. We'll come back. Bill and Wendy still to come at 10. This is your favorite radio station and one of mine, 720 WGN. Wow. 9:54 now, and the Steve Cochran Show continues. Telling tale from the RNC chairman, Reince Priebus, yesterday, when Priebus told NBC News on a brokered convention something he had laughed off before, "We're prepared for anything." It's not even a remote possibility. It's a possibility. It's less than 50-50 to be sure, but it could happen on both sides. And Hillary Clinton beaming from ear to ear, a little cocky. After a Vegas win, I don't think the old hippie Bernie's done yet.
Oh, I don't think so either. Do you remember, and since this is the last you're going to be talking about it.
Until Wednesday.
Remember how we were saying, it's going to be Bush, Clinton? That all went out the window.
Yeah, well, half of that's out the window to be sure.
Yeah.
So we'll see what happened, or what will happen going forward. A couple of things we didn't get to today. The 106-year-old woman... who visited the White House, it could have been the camera angles, I believe was shrinking while she was talking to the Obamas.
Yeah, she was cute.
She was dancing.
Yeah, she was.
Dancing up a storm. 106 years old. It's a cool video if you want to check that out. And I don't want to keep coming back or bouncing back to the race, but do you know how much Jeb Bush spent on his campaign?
More than $100 million.
$150 million.
How about that?
And he got a total of 9 votes in all the primaries.
And by
nine people.
And
nine.
For people who ask, the money in his campaign fund, he gets to keep.
You're not supposed to use it for personal stuff.
Of course, yes. I should have prefaced it with that. Yeah.
But he does get to keep it in his campaign fund. Mm-hmm. And whenever a candidate says, "I'm suspending my campaign," suspend doesn't mean I'm quitting forever. It means it's suspended. So if the weird thing happens and suddenly the Republicans decide they want you back, you can certainly flip the switch and come back in. But he's releasing all of his volunteers who are all out looking for work today. And his super PAC is obviously not going to keep spending money on them. So it could be the end of the Bush dynasty.
And incidentally, one of Governor Rauner's staffers has just quit to go work for John Kasich.
I didn't know that.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's an interesting development as well.
Very. What's the deal with Ben Carter? Why is
Carson?
He still, or Carson, why did I say that? Why is he still sticking in?
You know, he's got a decent amount of money. And as long as you have a decent amount of money and you can continue to, you know, get your word out, sell books, whatever. But I think Ben Carson still thinks he's got a shot.
Yeah.
And I think while other people drop out, now maybe they'll hop on to him.
He'll pick up some votes.
Yeah, pick up some support.
Do we have one more break, or do I have time to get a plug in here for Dave's event? Okay, before we take our last break and bring in Bill and Wendy, Dave, you're going to do the stair climb coming up?
Stair climb is coming up. It's a week from Sunday now, Steve. I'll be there along with a lot of the folks from WGN Radio.
Me too.
I signed up, Dave.
All right, Mary.
Yes, I did.
I haven't signed up yet, but I'll be
there. Mary got me through it last year.
Yep.
You can get me through it this year.
Yep, looking forward to it.
I'm sorry, you're going?
No, of course
not. Okay, I was going to say, wait a minute.
That'd be ridiculous.
Come hey, Steve, on, would you like Steve? To come to the American Lung Association Fight for Air Climb?
Presented? Well, would I like to? Sure, I'd like to. I'm not going to, but I would like to. I mean, I'd like to be there for you.
Why? Well, I thought you really just wanted to be invited.
No. No, this is not one of those things where I want to be invited, but I'm not going to come anyway. I really would like to be there, and I'd like to do the event, but I'm tired.
Okay.
So I want others to climb for me. And I believe me not being there is going to leave room for another person.
Like Andrea.
Yeah.
Would you like to come join me in the Fight for Air Climb on March 6th at Presidential Towers?
Dave, I would be so happy to write you
really?
A nice big fat check.
That's what I'm going
to
do. I'm going to write
you
a check.
Well, you don't write me the check. You write the check to the American Lung Association.
Look, Dave, how much you actually turn over is none of our business. But
89 cents of every dollar raised
that's pretty good.
Goes directly to... yeah, no, that's not 89 cents out of every dollar. That's 89 cents of every dollar goes to education, research, and advocacy.
Right. Oh, I see. So that's not what you're saying you'll
no,
give
I'm
back.
I'm not saying I'm okay. keeping
I'm
11
right
cents
now.
On the dollar. Okay. Go to fightforairclimb.org or call 312-781-1100. Join me, Mary.
Kevin.
Kev.
Yes. Come on, Kevin.
Yeah, and here's the thing, Dave. I'd like to give you all of my money, but after this weekend, I have less.
Mm-hmm.
Right. But anyway, what do we do?
Again, fightforairclimb.org or 312-781-1100.
Back with Bill and Wendy next on 720 WGN. It's 10 o'clock, and Bill's here. Where's Wendy?
She's here.
Okay.
I was shocked to learn that Dave's keeping 11% of the money on this Fight for Air thing.
No. I knew that was going to confuse
I
got to
tell you, I'm not shocked at all.
You're not shocked?
No, I've seen this kind of behavior before.
I didn't see that coming at all.
Yeah. Are you doing the Fight for Air Climb?
I'm not doing it this year. I've done it in the past, and it's great. I didn't keep any of the money. I gave all the money to charity.
You're not keeping any
But everybody's
of the money.
Different.
Are you hoping for some sort of asthma attack in your own Fight for Air as you sit at the house?
Yes. Bring on the asthma.
Yeah.
By the way,
I know we're into your show, Bill, but I need to present Dave with his football trophy that I broke and have now glued back together.
Oh, it looks like it was never broken at all.
When did you glue that? The trophy was from like 3 months ago.
I know. Actually, Art, our engineer, gave me some heavy-duty glue.
Andrea worked on that in the newsroom for like a half hour.
Thank you, Mary.
Wow.
She did a lot of work.
Thank you, Mary.
There's a lot of productivity.
Good to see a lot of things getting done up in the newsroom.
That's right. We had
these are the important things. Yeah. Dave had to have his trophy.
Thank you.
Don't
like, Bertrand running around with his Quidditch broom.
Yeah, he has that going more days than not.
Yeah.
This trophy, by the way, Dave is showing me, is priced at only $7.99. It says right on the bottom.
That's you say only like that's a bad thing.
You overpaid.
I looked at it. I'm thinking that's a $1,000 trophy, maybe more. It's $7.99.
Yeah, I got a good deal.
That's a great
deal.
What are you
doing today?
Well, one of the presidential candidates will be joining us, Steve.
Which one?
Zoltan Istvan.
Oh, that's the guy with the boot on his head.
Does he have a boot on his head? I don't know if he does.
The guy from Vermont with the boot on his head.
He believes that immortality is right around the corner, and if elected president, he will share those secrets with us, and we can all live forever.
Actually, that's Ted Cruz.
Oh, Ted Cruz is that
Yeah,
guy.
Ted Cruz has that belief.
I met that guy in New Hampshire.
Did you meet him?
I did. He was outside the Trump
rally.
Didn't
he have a boot on his head?
He did. They wouldn't let him in.
He's
gave
got
me
a boot
bumper
on his
sticker.
Head. You seem to be surprised that you're interviewing a whack job.
Andrea will take anything.
I know. Right, Steve?
We don't know that he... Do we know he's a whack job? He's got a boot on his head, but, you know...
But you know what? In this year, he could make more sense than all the others combined.
He will. I know he will.
All right, we'll see you tomorrow.